You're listening to SBS News.
Children are often classed as the most vulnerable in society, and the wars in Yemen and Syria are the most obvious examples to be found in the world in recent times. Charity Save the Children estimated in late 2018 that 85,000 Yemeni children under the age of 5 had died from acute malnutrition alone in that war. But a new report has found that children and adolescent deaths in general terms around the world have reduced by more than 50% since 1990. With global mortality reductions most rapid in children aged between 1 and 4 years old, report co-author Professor Nicholas Kassebaum attributes increased survival rates to enhanced treatment options and immunization.
Many of the improvements have been due to decreased rates of communicable, maternal, neonatal, and nutritional causes, likely related to improved nutrition, improved development, more widespread adoption of vaccines, and prevention of common infectious diseases.
Despite the improvement, the threat of HIV/AIDS remains imminent in some countries, as does mortality due to injury from war or natural disaster. The African nation of Niger was ranked in 2018 by a Save the Children report as the most dangerous for a child. The Global Burden of Disease report noted every nation within the sub-Saharan region as having either neonatal disorders, malaria, or HIV/AIDS as the leading cause of disability-adjusted life years. But diarrhea, or lower respiratory infection, is often ranked in second place. Listing some avoidable causes of mortality, the region stands in stark contrast to most other countries, where neonatal disorders or congenital birth defects were ranked either first or second. In Australia, Professor Kassebaum says a standout improvement for child mortality is a 70% drop since 1990 in death due to motor vehicle accidents.
Over the last 28 years, there have been actually some pretty reasonable improvements in injuries. So there's fewer motor vehicle accidents, lower rates of drowning, lower rates of pedestrian road injuries, lower rates of death due to motorcycle injuries and other transport injuries. But there has been some increase in a few other things. And those are really the neonatal disorders such as preterm birth, birth injury, and other neonatal have grown, which includes things like small for gestational age and pregnancy complications.
President of the Australian Paediatric Society, Dr. Mark D'Souza, has been a paediatrician for more than 3 decades. A practitioner on the New South Wales South Coast, Dr. D'Souza has noticed a notable decrease in child mortality in his region over the years.
When I was a junior doctor, the health landscape for children was quite different. We had a number of infectious diseases, which I don't see anymore, which at that time were causes of high anxiety for us as junior doctors because they had high mortality and morbidity rates.
Dr. D'Souza says one of those diseases that has become increasingly rare is epiglottitis, a potentially deadly breathing condition.
I haven't seen a child with that for over 10, maybe 15 years. Meningitis is much reduced, and much of this reduction has been due to immunisation. So these are vaccine-preventable diseases. In the same time, our malignancy treatment has improved markedly. So there are many cancers now where the cure rate is 90% or more, and that's astounding because some of these conditions had cure rates of 50% or less when I was a junior doctor.
Such advancements in medicine have revolutionised the medical profession due to the development of specific treatments.
Children who previously would never live to be adults who are now growing up, and that means that the doctors who treat adults have had to get used to and develop skills for managing conditions which they'd never seen previously.
Although vaccination rates between Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities are relatively even, Save the Children's State Manager for Western Australia, Juan Larinaga, says access and education is a barrier to early intervention for Aboriginal children.
Where there's a lack is that the child health screening. So when we're talking families in remote communities that are, you know, experiencing quite high levels of vulnerability and complexity, they're least likely to be, you know, to follow up when their child has an appointment with Child Health, and least likely to seek support, health support earlier, before that the health conditions become much more complicated.
Having previously worked across the Kimberley in Western Australia in child and maternal health policy, Mr. Larinaga says communities in remote areas like the Dampier Peninsula, north of Broome, receive visiting child health services, but many children don't attend such appointments. That's left many children without critical medical attention until they start school.
So you've got, you know, 3 to 4 years where that child could have had early interventions and support that could have addressed some of those issues before they actually started school, whether it's hearing, whether it's socio-motor skills, brain conditions and so forth, you know, learning difficulties. So these are things that can be picked up really easily, really quickly, and intervene early with the right support. But if the children aren't actually being assessed and seen, then they're missing out.
Dr. Megan Williams, a senior lecturer in Indigenous Health at the University of Technology, Sydney, says the health and well-being of parents has a profound impact on children and young people around the world, including Australia.
The data shows that it's neonatal deaths are still concerningly high, so mothers still need great care and support during pregnancies. But underscoring that is poverty. And some of the reasons that drive high neonatal deaths are those poor social determinants of health, including poverty and income.
Therefore, Dr. Williams believes health professionals need to use the World Health Organization's holistic definition of health, which shows that health is related to not only the issues of the individual, but their social context as well. A Wiradjuri descendant from the Mudgee region, Dr. Williams says Indigenous populations fare worse on almost every health and social indicator in comparison to Australia's non-Aboriginal population. She says a notable example is the rate of rheumatic heart disease.
It's obscene, in my view, that we see that in Australia and other developed nations don't, and it's something that is highly preventable and that we should not be seeing in our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander populations at the rates that we have been seeing.
Despite this though, Dr. Williams says more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are reaching their 20s than ever before.
Partly that's because we've got a high birth rate among our Indigenous peoples here, as well as a decline in mortality rate. So the overall decline in mortality rate is the case in our country for our general population and our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. But the risk is that we don't keep an eye on the gap and the very different rates of mortality between our mainstream general population and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander.
Jennifer Scherer, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.